prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. We are Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Have they found the missing link in evolution?
They say they have.
They say they have. That's what we're talking about today.
Way over there in China, on the other side of the world.
Christianity is falling apart at the seams, people.
Yeah, sure it is.
So if you want to know what's going on, you need to listen today. Also, the Bible has lied to you.
Yes, day in and day out.
We found out there's a contradiction that must be answered. Evilbible.com, they put up a contradiction. Does the Bible contradict itself?
Mm-hmm.
There is a verse that says there's an unforgivable sin, and then there's another verse that says you can be forgiven for anything.
Right.
What's up?
So have you sinned and possibly it's unpardonable? You think you're all hunky-dory, you get in front of God, he's like, depart from me. And you're like, oh man. Snap.
But even more, is the Bible wrong? Like, did it lie? Well, there is one sin you can't be forgiven for, but we forgive you for anything. Which one is it?
Right.
Come on. And so that's what we're talking about.
It's a legitimate contradiction, right?
That's right. We also got a listener question. So I'm glad you're joining us today. This is some really important stuff. Mm-hmm. And most of all, I'm just glad we have a special guest today, Dr. Fuzz Rana from Reasons to Believe. Dr. Rana, thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you again.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
And you joined us before, and your answers were just amazing. We got a lot of feedback. People liked having you on there. So go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit. What was your profession before you started working for Reasons to Believe?
Well, I'm trained as a biochemist, and so I was working in research and development for a Fortune 500 company and felt like one of the most important things I could do as a scientist and as a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, is to communicate to people that science and the Christian faith are in harmony with each other, as opposed to a common view that science is opposed to the Christian faith.
That's an excellent point.
Amen.
We get a lot of people asking, well, I want to believe in science because I know it's true, but I also want to believe in God, and they're not sure what to do with that. But you would maintain, just like we do, you can have both of those worlds, can't you?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, when we look at Scripture, it tells us that God is revealed through the record of nature. And so God is responsible for the words of the Bible, and God is the creator and is responsible for the world that we live in, then we would expect to see features from nature that are perfectly compatible with what's found in Scripture. And science is the way in which we study nature. We study the creation, and so therefore science and Christianity should be in agreement, as long as we're interpreting the record of nature correctly and the words of Scripture correctly.
Bingo. We're looking at each other and smiling.
We talked about that very same thing a couple of weeks ago, about how, you know, if the Bible says something that is not in conjunction with science, we have to really take a look and see, well, something's wrong here, and eventually, one of these days, science will actually do a flip and either prove the Bible right, or you will look at the Bible and actually
realize that your interpretation
realize
is wrong.
Your interpretation's wrong.
So, yeah, the data from science isn't wrong. The data's not wrong, and the words of the Bible aren't wrong. It's our interpretation of the data or interpretation of those words that might be incorrect. So, now, we are talking today about evolution. Supposedly, the missing link has been found. I can't pronounce this. Discovery of the Entogonathus primordialis, something like that.
The big fish.
Giant armored fish is what we're going to call it. It says here an article from Tom Nightingale, a team of scientists have found a fossil of a 419 million year old ancient armored fish in what is being hailed as the most significant paleontological discovery in decades. Got a quick audio clip here from ABC News as they are talking about it.
Professor Long says the fossil dates to about 50 million years before fish became amphibious.
This is a huge discovery for science, not just paleontology. This fish fills a gap between an extinct class of animals and the entire living fish fauna on the planet, which is 30,000 species. So it's a huge discovery that fills a massive gap in our knowledge of the evolution of the first backboned animals.
All right, so there we have it. Dr. Rana, they say this fish fills a gap between an extinct class of animals and the entire living fish fauna on the planet. That's a pretty large claim. Some people are calling it the missing link in evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Just right off the bat, what is your immediate take on this?
Well, you know, the first point that I would make is this, is that oftentimes, just in a general sense, people look at the fossil record and they say, oh, the fossil record is clearly evidence that life has evolved, that there's an evolutionary history for life on Earth. Well, another way to look at the fossil record is that the fossil record is indeed giving us a description of the history of life on Earth, but that history of life on Earth doesn't necessarily have to be understood in evolutionary terms. In other words, we could look at the fossil record and say, well, these are just simply different creatures that God created at different times in Earth's history as, again, the history of life unfolds. And so if you look at the creation accounts, Genesis 1 is an example. On the different days of creation, God is introducing different types of animals, or he's causing different things to happen with respect to Earth's history. And so creation is progressing, it's unfolding in a stepwise manner that is overseen and orchestrated by a creator. And so why couldn't you simply look at the fossil record in that way? And in fact, prior to Darwin's time, paleontologists, again, prior to Darwin's time, scientists who study the fossil record and the history of life on Earth, viewed the fossils in that very way.
In which way?
That the fossils simply reflected eras in God's creative purposes. So again, there are different life forms that were created at different times in Earth's history by the Creator.
So you're saying common design or not common descent?
That's exactly right. And when you look at this particular fossil find, it's a remarkable fossil find that has essentially a fish that has the body of an armored fish, like what's known as a placoderm, but a jaw that looks like that of a modern fish. And so the argument is, well, this is like a mosaic of designs, and so therefore that would be a perfect transitional form. But you could also look at mosaic designs as reflecting the work of a designer. Human beings produce mosaic designs all the time. In fact, smartphones or an iPhone, for example, is a mosaic design. It's a combination of an iPod and a device that can search the internet, and a cell phone.
And they copied Samsung, and they got sued.
That's right.
Let's not get into that one.
Yeah, right. But the idea here is that just because something has a blending of properties doesn't mean it has to be viewed in evolutionary terms.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this particular discovery, and this is something that doesn't come out in the popular press discussion of the discovery, but is evident in the scientific papers reporting on this work, is that this discovery actually completely turns on its head what people thought the standard evolutionary model was for the evolutionary origin of fish.
Okay, now wait a minute. Before you get into that, that's fascinating. There are scientists out there who are saying these are absolutely the ancestors. I got an audio clip right here.
The study's lead author is Professor Min Zhu from the Chinese Academy of Sciences. He says the fossil's jaw looks a lot like those of modern fish, which shows placoderms are the ancestors of modern fish.
So that jawline that you were talking about shows that these really are ancestors. And why? I mean, I know we're saying common descent, but why can't that be the case necessarily?
Yeah, well, this discovery, and this doesn't come through in the popular communication of it, is really turning the evolutionary paradigm when it comes to fish origins on its head. Now, if you pick up a textbook, I actually pulled a vertebrate paleontology textbook off my shelf.
You just happen to have one on your shelf.
Yeah, I do.
I do, too. I carry those with me.
and this was a textbook that was that I used, I hate to admit it, but this was in the early 1980s. And the textbook description of how fish evolved was that you had some kind of shark-like fish whose skeleton was made up of cartilage, which is, you know, typical for sharks and rays and things like that, skates. And that was supposed to be this evolutionary ancestor leading to what are called the bony fish. These are the fish that we're familiar with today. And another branch called the cartilaginous fish, which would be, again, sharks and rays and things like that. And, in fact, in 2012,
Instead of the scientific names, I refer to those as fish I can eat and fish that will kill me.
There you go. That's right. But you know, in 2012, a team of researchers discovered a fossil that presumably was this perfect transition that was a shark-like fossil that was they interpreted as being the transition leading to those two major branches, the bony fish and the cartilaginous fish. And they thought that placoderms were this evolutionary side branch and dead end. Then along comes this particular find, and suddenly we're radically rewriting the evolutionary history of fish.
Interesting.
And so what's interesting is that here's a set of ideas that literally have been in play as a standard textbook explanation for at least, you know, what would that be, at least 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it turns out that that explanation, which I've had, you know, presented to me as being evidence for evolution. Look, not only do we have fish fossils, but we understand how fish evolved. And so this is presented to me time and time again as evidence that evolution must be correct. And here comes a single fossil find, and suddenly the entire evolutionary explanation, the textbook explanation, goes out the window, and we have a new explanation. Well, how secure is this explanation? Is there going to be another fossil find in a few years that's going to cause us to rewrite evolution again? And so while the story is presented with so much certainty, the fact of the matter is it's highly speculative. And going back to a point that I made earlier, you could interpret this fossil record, again, from a design perspective or a creation perspective, where these different life forms or creatures that God created at different times in Earth's history, that the shared features reflect common design, not common descent. It's essentially, what presuppositions are you bringing to the table? And the scientific community, by and large, brings atheistic presuppositions to the table and therefore views, you know, the history of life on Earth strictly in evolutionary terms.
That's interesting.
And won't allow a creation model approach.
And so, to put this in real layman's terms, you know, we've all seen the picture of the shadowy figures, one hunched over at the very beginning and then slowly becoming more erect as it goes on to modern man. Do you know what image I'm talking about?
Yes.
And so to put this in terminology in that way, if you did the same thing with fish, this is almost like taking one of those ladder pictures and sliding it more towards the beginning and saying, guess what? We found one that was really early.
Right.
That's in some ways like what we expected to be later on.
Yes.
And so this really turns upside down the evolutionary expectations.
Right. It's making textbooks obsolete.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right. And so this is kind of interesting to me that you bring that up, because it's being hailed as the doom of creationism because this has proven evolution. But really, it's showing that the predictive models evolution was based on were actually incorrect. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right, because the predictions that you would make about what that transitional fossil ought to look like, given the standard evolutionary story for fish origins, was a wrong prediction.
Interesting.
And that's why this particular fossil specimen created so much excitement among scientists, is because it produced a transitional form, quote unquote, that was completely unlike anything that anybody would have expected to be the case.
That's cool.
And so again, it doesn't mean that the case for evolution is as overwhelming or as secure as oftentimes is communicated.
Right. And, you know, on the flip side, we don't want any Christian listeners of this going out and saying, ha, see, this proved all their models wrong. Well, that's not exactly what happened either. So they have to reassess some of their predictions and how that came about. But it doesn't prove evolution wrong. It doesn't prove Christianity or creation wrong. It's a really an interesting thing that has come about, though. We're going to come back with Dr. Fuzrana on the other end of this. We also are going to answer our Bible contradiction.
That's right. Got one warmed up for you.
Yeah. Wow. Is the Bible wrong? Can you be forgiven or not? There's two contradictions, or a contradiction from two verses here. And we got a listener question about whether or not we think the Earth is old and how that works with some claims we made about aliens on Mars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, weird question. But also, today,
Revolution Church,
starting two services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. So if you're up at 9 a.m., come on over.
There you go.
If you don't get up until 11, that's okay. Come on over. 9 a.m., 11:15 a.m., Revolution Church. You've been growing. Want to invite you out. Check you on the other side of this break.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Sometimes critics will point to prayer studies to show that God doesn't actually exist, because they usually show prayer doesn't help.
So should we reject prayer?
Jesus already told us what he thought about it.
And Jesus is important. We can demonstrate he fulfilled prophecy and rose from the dead.
In Matthew 12, we read, some people said, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you."
But Jesus replied, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it."
Does it sound like he appreciates being studied and experimented on?
Not particularly. And know what we aren't saying. We aren't saying that God is untestable. You just have to believe.
Right. There are plenty of ways to know if Jesus is the real deal. But making him or God the Father the subject of a prayer study doesn't make sense if he's already indicated he wouldn't participate.
Jesus made it clear that he's not an experiment. So don't be surprised when he doesn't participate.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
We are talking with Dr. Fuzrana today about the supposed missing link in evolution.
You know, I always thought the missing link was going to be some sort of ape or something like that.
Well,
turns out not.
I thought the missing link was my brother when I was growing up. But it turns out not to be the case. The big brow line was just because I kept beating him on the head.
There you go.
So anyway, we have found a giant armored fish that scientists.
Did you say we?
Yeah, you and me.
When we were
in China last week, there was a armored fish found by people who are much more adept at digging things up than you or I.
And they're smarter than us.
That's right. So since they're much smarter than us, we brought someone smarter than us onto the show, Dr. Fuzrana. Doctor, I'm just curious, when you're looking at this missing link or this armored fish, when you look at it, you know, aside from the creation evolution debate, what do you find most interesting about this fish?
Well, I'm not sure that I find fish all that interesting.
that was the best possible answer.
In all honesty, you know, to me what's fascinating about this discovery is that this fossil specimen was preserved as a three-dimensional fossil. It wasn't a two-dimensional imprint, you know, in the rock, but rather it was a three-dimensional fossil that they could actually gain really, you know, good detailed understanding of the anatomy and to some degree the physiology of this fish. And so it's fascinating to me to think that you can hold in your hands something that, you know, existed, you know, almost 420 million years ago, and that you're getting this glimpse into what life on Earth was like, all that, in the distant past. That to me is absolutely mind-boggling when you think about it.
Yeah,
that we've got these windows into the past history of life on Earth, and you know, it just is a source of endless wonder, as far as I'm concerned, when you think about and imagine what the world would have been like then.
That is amazing. Now, sometimes people think back to other transitional species, missing links that were found when maybe they were in school, things they saw in Time magazine, perhaps. And I'm thinking about, you know, like Lucy and things like that. How does this relate to other so-called transitional species?
Well, I mean, in a sense, the way that I think about Lucy and Neanderthals and creatures like that is very similar to how I would think about this particular fish fossil, is that, again, those creatures represent creatures that God made that existed and then disappeared and went extinct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them as having any kind of evolutionary connection to modern humans. I see human beings as reflecting the work of a creator. And so, for example, we've got some interesting studies done looking at Neanderthals. We've got DNA from Neanderthals, and from that DNA we can conclude that Neanderthals could not have evolved into humans.
Interesting.
You know, we've got these what are called hominids in the fossil record. As you mentioned, Lucy, Neanderthals, there's probably somewhere between 15 and 20 species of these hominids that existed from about 7 million years ago till about really, you know, maybe even as recently as 50,000 years ago.
Right, like the Denisovans, and Homo erectus, things like that.
Yeah. And yet nobody really knows how these different hominids would relate to each other in evolutionary terms.
Hmm.
Evolutionary biologists struggle to come up with consensus evolutionary trees for how these hominid fossils relate. And each new fossil find forces a rewriting of the evolutionary history. There's no clear pathway from the first hominid in the fossil record to modern humans. Nobody knows which of these hominids were part of our direct evolutionary ancestry. And so while oftentimes this information is presented as being so certain, it turns out that things are extremely speculative and highly confused. And again, it makes me suspicious when a single fossil find can rewrite what people consider for decades to be the standard evolutionary story. That to me is suggestive that just maybe things aren't exactly the way that they appear. And again, it's very easy to think about these creatures from a creation model perspective as being creatures that God created that existed and went extinct.
And that's true. From a creation perspective, every time we find a new creature like this, that doesn't rewrite our entire history. We just say, yeah, God did make that.
Right.
So, hey, we're going to quickly answer a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, today's Bible contradiction comes to you from evilbible.com.
Dun, dun, dun.
They're really good with those names.
Yes.
All right, check it out. Is there an unpardonable sin or isn't there? Mark 3:29 seems to think so. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin.
Okay.
However, Acts 13:39. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses.
Okay.
What gives?
Well, you have to put those up against each other really quickly. Mark, basically, you will not be forgiven if you commit this sin. Acts says, hey, you can be forgiven for every sin.
Right.
So which one is it? Well, we use the CRACT acronym to help us solve Bible contradictions.
Okay.
And the C in CRACT, the very first C, stands for context. You have to read the context. One day, there was a prophet that visited our church, a so-called prophet. He carried a staff. He had a white beard. I'm dead serious.
Really?
But he was obviously homeless. But he told me what happened to Job was going to happen to everyone at my church.
Really?
And I said, why? And he said, because you never listen to homeless people. And I said, I'm sorry you got the wrong church, because we actually make special efforts to help homeless people. Uh-huh. We work with the mission. We do lots of other things. And then he said, well, you just don't trust God. And the proof is because you have locks on your doors. And I'm getting a little agitated.
Uh-huh.
And finally he said, and also, you say Jesus is God. He's not. He's only the Son of God. And I said, that's it. All right. You need to leave.
Right.
And he turned around, he pointed at me and says, I speak by the Spirit of God, but you call me a liar. You committed the unforgivable sin, and then he left.
Okay.
Holy smokes.
He just left you hanging like that.
He just left me hanging like that. He says I committed the unforgivable sin. Well, had I? Well, you got to look at the context of the scripture. right? Jesus was preaching and teaching, and some people brought Jesus a person who'd been demon possessed, mm-hmm. and he was blind and mute because of this demon possession. And so Jesus cast this demon out. He told the demon he had to leave, and all of a sudden the guy could see again, the guy could speak again. So Jesus did a miracle. He cast a demon out, plus he had fulfilled prophecies, and everybody was just celebrating. It said the people were astonished in the Bible, and the Greek word that it used to say astonished was existeme, and it means literally to be aside oneself with amazement. I mean, mm-hmm. they were going crazy. But despite all this amazement from everybody, the Pharisees, the really religious people, said, no, 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 you're using Satan's power.
Right.
And Jesus said, wait a minute, I'm doing good miracles. I'm driving demons away. I'm helping people know God. And he was fulfilling prophecy about what the Messiah would do, prophecy from their own scriptures. You see, what the Pharisees, and this is when Jesus says, you're in danger of committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and you won't be forgiven. So you have to say, what did they do? Well, they had a purposeful rejection of Jesus as the Messiah, despite the evidence. They had an absolute permanent refusal to believe that Jesus was God. And these led to them attributing an act of the Holy Spirit, an act they knew was from God, which is the miracle of Jesus, attributing that to Satan and opposing the work of God, not just once, but on an ongoing basis.
There you go.
And that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So is Acts right when it says you can be set free from every sin? Yes. Is Jesus right when he says blasphemy of the Holy Spirit won't be forgiven? Yes, because it's not merely one sin. It's an ongoing, perpetual rejection.
Right. Lifestyle.
Exactly, of who Jesus actually was. And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Ta-da! I love that music.
Right on.
Okay, so back to the questions here about evolution, the giant armored fish, and how this all works together. Dr. Rana, you've done a lot of research into this. How should Christians think about evolution in general? Is it a fact that's been established? What should our response to it be?
Well, in a sense, evolution is both a fact, but it's also an idea that has yet to be established. And what I mean by that, speaking of contradictions, is that the term evolution actually is ambiguous. It can mean a lot of different things. And so there's some aspects of the theory of evolution that are not controversial whatsoever that Christians readily embrace. For example, the idea of the peppered moth's wings changing color in response to changes in the environmental the pollution in the environment, is an example of microevolution. It's well established.
Yes.
Or the Galapagos finches, where one finch goes to the Galapagos Islands and radiates into a variety of different species and subspecies. That's an example of speciation, not controversial.
Right.
Or bacteria evolving resistance to antibiotics. Again, well established, not controversial.
Right.
But to me, the place where I'm skeptical has to do with the origin of life and what we would call macroevolution, where the origin of life is saying that life can come from non-life, and macroevolution is saying one major group can generate or create another major group simply through undirected processes. And so here you're ascribing creation to essentially undirected blind processes supplanting the creator, whereas in the other instances it's not creating something new, but it's modifying or fine-tuning something that exists.
Mm.
And you could see that as actually part of the design that the Creator put in place, where a species can adapt to its environment from generation to generation. I see that as an elegant design feature. So
yes.
Some aspects of the evolutionary paradigm are not controversial. Other aspects are. And I believe, too, that the fossil record is a real history of life on Earth. I just look at it as a history controlled or orchestrated and purposed by God to accomplish an ultimate purpose.
That's great. Hey, thanks for being with us today. And listeners, you can catch this if you need to listen to it again. There was so much good stuff there. TruthRevolution.tv is our website.
There you go.
You can go back there and review it. And come out to Revolution Church every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 11:15. Thanks for being here with us, Dr. Rana. This information was great. Appreciate you clarifying it for us.
My pleasure.
All right. Check us online, truthrevolution.tv. You can get to Revolution Church from there, find directions so you can be here at 9 o'clock or 11:15. Rolling in, and we will see you next week on Truth Revolution.